Morning, Denny.
Morning, gents. Yeah, what about that? The Queen wants to stay in touch with PVL.
Just text or over Instagram?
Oh, mate, maybe direct phone. Just when she's got an issue in the family, maybe she can call PVL. He can fix things. I don't know if he can fix that, but...
She's got an Instagram account?
Not sure. I don't follow her. I don't follow her. I might check it out, though.
She'd follow you.
Yeah, Pop, what are you rating Weidler?
I haven't seen Dee Weidler
Denny,
for a while.
Pop's rating Pooble today.
Rating?
Yeah.
Dee
Weidler, he's a strong 7.5, Dee Weidler, I reckon.
Yeah, he was 7.5, Denny.
I'd take a 3.
Yeah, you're a strong 7.5.
3 out of 10.
Don't undersell yourself.
My maximum.
Nah, he goes up a few as well. Good father. You get a couple extra being a good dad as well.
He's over 6 foot, aren't you, Denny?
Just on. What are we basing this on?
Just my opinion.
Bit of pups, you know, whether you're how tall you are, good looking.
Yeah.
Fit, you know,
healthy.
Fit,
you get,
healthy.
You get like bonus.
On the market, off the market.
You get
all
bonus
types of
points
things.
For, like Gutho gets bonus for being captain of para. You get bonus for being a good dad. So I just try and find a few little.
So, Pup, you're obviously the Bo Derek of this thing. You're the 10th.
No, I reckon I sit at about, I'm retired, so you lose that point. I'll probably sit at about a 7. I'll give myself a 7. Yeah,
7?
I'll give myself a 7, yeah. I've got room
mate,
for improvement.
I've given myself an 8.5.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised about that.
Oh, wow.
I'm giving you a 9. I'm giving Liz a 9 as well. You know, you're about a 7.
Denny, well, what out of 10 do you give the 6 again situation? What does he get at the moment?
Well, look, it's getting a 0 from a lot of people, isn't it? People are over it, and I think that the end of that game really angered a lot of people, obviously angered the Raiders. And, you know, Laurie, I remember you were very wise about all this. You said you're going to reserve your judgment because people were absolutely loving it to start with. Remember, we're seeing this sort of fast footy, no wrestle. And you were sitting back and, you know, quite wisely, I probably was very much in favour of it at the start. But you sort of said, look, just give it some time till the coaches work it out. And Laurie, I think they've worked it out.
Yeah, they have, Denny. They have, and it's one of these ones now where when you're leaving it to the referee with their discretion, I think we're going to get more drama as the season goes on and the bigger the games, because you know you're going to have teams testing the patience of a referee, and now with this being at the forefront of their minds this weekend, are we going to have a crackdown on it? Are we going to see them referee it differently this weekend compared to last week? I would assume yes.
That word makes me curl up and getting want to go in a corner. No more crackdowns, please.
Do you think there will be this weekend?
Well, there could be. You wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, and I think they will do it because there's only 4 games this weekend.
Laurie, how long have I known you? Since about 87?
I've known you for a long, long time.
Like, and that in that time, how many times do you reckon the referees have been bagged and the game's been bagged?
Every a couple of times a year.
Do we have to just accept that it's not perfect and realise that there's going to be errors? And, you know, no matter which system we get, there's humans involved. There's going to be mistakes. I remember, you know, 6 weeks ago, we're talking about death threats for referees and how we shouldn't even mention them. And how the media are going to take the stance of, we're not going to bag. Mate, it's back. It's open slather again.
Yeah.
You know, we just forget. We're so short-sighted and small-minded in a lot of the things that the way we report on the game and cover the game and view the game. And I get it. There's emotion and passion involved. But anything we do, I don't know if it's going to be perfect. I didn't like the wrestle. I remember that.
Yeah. And a lot of people, Denny, didn't like 2 referees either.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people saying, well, you need to go back to 1 referee, and then at the start...
Now we want 2 refs.
Now we want 2, but...
Bring them back, that was fine, remember? That was great.
Oh, yeah, we could go back through it. But I don't know, and you know what they're like, Denny. Coaches are very smart. Whatever rule change you make, they will exploit it. They might exploit it straight away, but eventually they find ways around the rule book.
Well, they coach to cheat, though, mate. I mean, like, they're trying to...
Well, yeah, everything. Yeah, you do. You coach to get every advantage you can get.
Yeah. It's all about the loophole. It's all about taking advantage of the situation. It's all about exploiting either a weakness in the opposition or exploiting a weakness in the official.
Yeah.
And we just have to... I know it's not perfect. I know... Look, with the two refs, I asked the Landys about that yesterday, and he's adamant it's going to be one ref. He said when we got rid of the other ref, we put him on the sidelines, and now we've in fact got three refs, and they're all watching. But we're still seeing mistakes, and the bunker's terrible. I think the word that everybody is starting to come back to is common sense and being able to understand the game, and we don't. That's what we don't see enough of. I think that people have said that the referees are too robotic, and maybe there's some truth in that. And maybe, like Ricky said, it takes courage. And unfortunately, I have never been in that position where I have to make that call, but it does take courage to make a call, like to blow a penalty in that situation, or put someone in the bin. Like in Origin, you know, that was a big call. People weren't happy with that either when Kaufusi got sin bin, and there is a case that's what ruined Queensland, because they were ahead at that point, and in the second half they had nothing, they didn't score another point. So you know, it's just so difficult. We're always going to blow up. I'm not saying I've got an answer to any of it, but the way that I quizzed Volandis about it yesterday, he is a huge fan of the six again. He hates the wrestle. He thinks that the wrestle was terrible in the game. He says the fans are on his side, he's going to stick to his guns. So, Peter Volandis has made a lot of decisions. I don't agree with all of them, and I don't know if I even agree with this one. But he's the one who's setting the tone and setting the pace. And you'll find that a lot of people are in favour of what Peter Volandis has done. So. It's just a really difficult situation.
What about this New South Wales team, buddy, for game three? What are your thoughts?
Strong. I mean, like, I liked it when they picked it for game two. I do think Payne Haas is a big out. I interviewed him straight after the game in Perth, and he said something to me which I probably should have picked up on. So I said, look, this is your body's getting pretty damaged here. And he said, look, I've got to start to look after myself and my club. And I wonder whether that's had a bearing. Like, I wonder if the Broncos have been in his ear in a way, saying, "Listen, you know, you've got the contract here. You've got to perform for us." I wonder if they. I'm not saying I know, but I'm just saying the way he spoke to me after the game. I wonder whether anyone leaned on him and said, "You know, we need some value out of you. We need you to rest." And he was getting injection in at least one of his shoulders to play. He banged his foot up pretty badly, so he's in a moon boot after the game. And I think he's a big out. I can't say I've watched Jordan McLean closely enough to say how well he's been going. I know that the last 2 months or so, he's been really consistent and strong, and he's a monster of a bloke. He's huge. Like you stand next to him, and it's you don't see the sun. He's a big boy, and there won't be any. Lack of work ethic or vigour or toughness when it comes to him. But I don't know whether he's got the same motor that Payne Haas has had. So that to me is, I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk about the centres and things like that, but to me that's pretty significant, losing a forward of his nature and, Payne Haas' nature. And then we don't have, of course, Daniel Saifidi in any sort of conditional form to play for New South Wales. So we're a bit light up front, but we handled it pretty well as a state in Perth.
Tell us a bit about what you wrote about in your column in the Sun Herald on Sunday about three minutes, basically, that the Blues hierarchy will focus on and how they dismantled Queensland in Origin 2.
Yeah, Loz, you'd probably be someone who would subscribe to something like this. The Blues weren't getting carried away about the Cleary tries or... the long passes or the great kicking, that they focused on a 3 minute period from about the 56th minute, where Cleary put in a really good kick, which was almost a 40-20. They held Queensland down in their territory, and then they managed to bustle them into error and then score a try through Jerome Luai. And it was the work ethic and the pressure they put on the Queenslanders in that period, which they're going to really want to reproduce. You know, I know it's a cliche. to talk about one percenters and these sort of things, but those 3 minutes are what the Blues are going to watch when they clip up highlights of the game. Where you know, good kick chase, trapping Ponga in goal, and then exploiting Nanai out wide and Gaugai through a hole, which I'm sure they're going to aim at again in this next game.
Yeah, I totally agree, Danny. I thought New South Wales, it was a very professional display in the second half. And by that, I mean they had them on the ropes, but they didn't do anything silly. That they didn't sort of start moving the ball sideline to sideline and getting frantic with their play, knowing that the opposition were a bit fatigued and tired. They actually kicked, they chased, they made their tackles, got them working it off their own line, and then they pounced, and they pounced through the middle. And that's what I love to see, rather than them losing their way. And that was as controlled a second half as I've seen from a halfback. And I think that's what impressed me with Nathan's game, because in the first half, you know, he was a little bit quiet and they were putting me under pressure and he came up with a couple of good plays. But it was in the second half where he got them on the front foot, put them under pressure, but then he went on with it. And that's what I thought was a mature display from a young halfback who's still only 24 years of age. And that's what you're looking for, rather than this, you know, confident player that just went, well, you know, I'm going to start throwing cutout passes and I'm going to start chipping over the top and doing the flashier plays. They just kept it simple, professional, and they did the job so well.
Professional is a word. And I also think that when I say Yeo starts to come more into the game and play his role that he likes to play at Penrith, and that gave Nathan a bit of breathing space and breathing room and enabled him to be that professional player that you're talking about. And he can't be underestimated. And while ever he's in the side, he's a huge edge for New South Wales. Just his calmness, his ball playing, his ability to understand and execute the game plan, he allows Nathan to, he takes a lot of pressure off him. And I think that Queensland, he didn't really come into his own for the first, I didn't think for the first 30 minutes of the game. I thought they were a little bit clunky at that time. And I do think we can't get carried away by the size of the victory. You know, it was a cakewalk in the second half, but until that sin binning, that Queensland were ahead. And I thought New South Wales were a little bit, you know, like I said, clunky and not coordinated. And I do think we have to be a little bit wary of all that. And I'm sure that Freddie's going to make that point. Like the boys got together last night for a bit of a drink and stuff. But I think once they put their game faces on from this afternoon, I think they're going to see that sort of that video clip I told you about. They're going to be told about the fact that, you know, Queensland were ahead, and that, you know, the sin binning obviously helped them. So I don't think that the Blues are, you know, a lot of people were really celebrating that win, and rightly so, because it was a tremendous win. But with internally, I don't think they're anywhere near as buoyant as everybody else.
Now, are you surprised to see Matt Lodge playing in Sydney at the Roosters?
He's wanted to play there for a while, you know. I do think it's a risk. And I'm not saying that because of Matt Lodge's history in New York. I think it's more to do with his character. I've talked to a lot of people about Matt Lodge. And they still say he's got ability as a footballer. There is no question about that. But he rates himself very highly as a player. And the Roosters will not tolerate someone who's too big for their boots. I'm not saying that necessarily what Matt Lodge is, but what I'm saying is that he's got to fit into their system. He's an opinionated individual who can, through his opinion, potentially be divisive. But I think the Roosters know that. And I think they're going to have to get on top of that. They've done their research. They know what they're getting. But on the plus side, they're getting a big middle forward who can take an aggressive style of football to the opposition. And he can target a leader in the other side and give them absolute hell on the field. And that's what they need. That's what the Roosters have been missing. Because I think, I've been saying it for most of the year, I think the Roosters are, if they're not the most disappointing team of the year, they're not far off it. Their performances just haven't matched up to their roster, and there's no hiding from that. And I think that that there is pressure on that club at the moment. And it's probably a real wake-up call to some of the Roosters forward that they're having to import Matt Lodge, who, let's face it, he hasn't been a smash hit everywhere he's gone. So it's a risk. Oh, I think it's a risk.
Now, just having a look at your own Instagram account, Denny, and who bench pressed more this morning, yourself or Sonny Bill?
Look, if you think I can even lift one millionth of what Sonny Bill can lift, you're sillier than I thought, Mido. Mate, I just happened to bump into him. He's up here on a family holiday, and he's staying in the same hotel as the Blues, and, he's still got his boxing career to focus on. I'm just trying to put one foot in front of the other at the moment. So he was training hard. I was just sitting on the bike and Instagramming. Nothing real.
Thanks.
Nothing
so
real about my training session.
I've seen you train hard. Good on you, Denny, mate. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.